Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we've got Doug Thornton with us, and Doug is from the American Vindicta Show, and you know what I'm going to say next. Together, we're the Doug and Dave Intel Report, and we're really humble. I'm really humbled by how popular the show is becoming. I tell people, Dave, that's the best thing you do. It might be, but we're really humbled by your support. I'm coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios, and Noble Gold can set you on the right path. I've been a customer for 7.5 going on 8 years. I've been an advertiser 8.5 going on 9 years. Listen, they're as good as it gets with integrity, and they're as good as it gets with professionalism. And I sleep well at night, even though our economy is in some turmoil because of the previous administration. I feel like I'm pretty well protected, and you can be too. Don't let them take stuff from you when the banks start to fail. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Put in your email. We don't sell your data, I promise. And I'll send you out a free information packet that says these are all the things Noble Gold can do for you. And I hope that I've earned some trust from many of you who have been with us for years. I will never deal with anyone else but Noble Gold, okay? And to my dying days. And I'm telling you, we're doing another deal with them next week. Here's the problem. People just don't know how to take care. You think you put your money in the bank, you're safe, you're not, you're crazy. Lovingly saying that. DaveHodgesGold.com. And Doug does firearm training in Tennessee primarily, but he does it in other places too. Doug, what do you got coming up with regard to helping people learn self-defense?
Hey, Dave. So we've got August, September, and I believe now in December, three classes lined up. The August course will be a live fire course, so it's going to be rifle carbine. So for anyone who wants to come out there and shoot your guns, this will be a good time. Learn some new skills. We'll be doing some movement to fire, some stuff that we learned in the military and law enforcement. So if you've never had any application of that, come check us out. It's on the website. The September course is the women's only course, which we're getting so many people emailing us saying they want to come to this course or that they're coming to the course, which is awesome. We want to be able to train the sisters up to the best of our ability. And then in December, we have our standard shoot, move, communicate CQB course. Now, it's a close quarters battle course, but really what we're teaching you here is how to actually deal with somebody who is violently entering into your home, which then can go anywhere from your car to a store, teaching you how to deal with an active threat, because we actually have actors, role players, and not targets. So we teach you how to speak to people, how to use situational awareness on the move, looking for outs, teaching some firearms proficiency and tactics the entire time. So if you're into that, you want to get some training, VindictaSolutions.com is where you can find it.
Well, pretty interesting. You talked about women becoming proficient at defense. I saw something the other day. I put a lot of stuff I do up on X. So I'm up on X, and after I published just below it, there's a video that caught my attention, and it was a woman who walked into an area, and then three guys surround her and go, uh-oh, this doesn't look good. This is a surveillance camera. They picked on the wrong woman. She used to be an MMA fighter. So a guy reached out, was patting her, and she knocked his hand off, and he started to get more aggressive. Boom, right cross. He goes down, spinning back fist to the guy behind her. He goes down, and then she kicks the guy in the family jewels. Right. And then the first guy starts to get up. She kicks him in the head. All three of them sprawled out, and she turned around and got away quickly. And I thought, okay, the beauty of female power. But man, I'll tell you, it was exciting to see that. And I'm thinking, this is why I'm nice to everybody. You never know who can hurt you.
Hey, man, you never know. You just never know who it is that you just decided to mess with the wrong lady that day. At first, I thought you were going to bring up Macron's wife beating him up on air, but.
No, I don't want to go there.
Did you see that?
That's a verboten topic right now. We're not going there. Yeah, tell you, we have so many bad actors in charge of the planet. Anyway, I wish I would have saved video because it was absolutely phenomenal to watch this. I'll tell you, well-trained female martial artists can do a lot of damage. But most of you women carry your keys interlocked with your fingers, and either the throat or the eyes, whatever is open, if a male grabs you and tries to bring you harm, you have the right to self-defense. We used to teach that stuff from my dojo when I was a kid. We used to go around to women's groups and churches and stuff and said, We don't invite trouble. Run away if you can. Talk your way out of it. But if not, here's what you got to do. So I congratulate you on that. How do people find out more about that, Doug?
So it's www.vindictasolutions.com, spelled just like it is right here behind me.
V-I-N-D-I-C-T-A.
Yep. So if you go to email us, you want to learn anything else about the course, you'll be speaking to one of the other instructors, Justin. Justin will most likely get in contact with you. Listen, we've had people from 60s and 70s go through this course. You're not getting beat up. It's not super intensive. Really what it is, it's mentally intensive. We drive the emotional state so that we can pretty much scare the hell out of you and get you learning how to be calm and act responsibly and survive the tale of the tale. So that's our goal.
Yeah, interesting. My dad used to teach me this when I was a kid. When other people are upset is when you need to be calm. And we used to rehearse this when I was a kid. I'm talking 8, 9, 10 years old. And I think it really forms the basis of good leadership. I know it helped me in my coaching. You know, the game's on the line. You're down to a last possession. You're in a timeout. Are you going to go with emotion or are you going to be calm so your players can be calm and perform? And I like what you're talking about getting people's emotional faculties under control, because that's effectively what you're doing. That's really, really big. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today what we're going to talk about is what's going on in Russia. And you've heard me talk about this to some degree. And Doug and I have not rehearsed this. We've discussed some of the issues the other night on the phone, but we haven't rehearsed this. But I'm telling you, the potential from my perspective for this to blow up into the Third World War, because we now got a wounded animal that's cornered, is huge. It's huge. And Trump is contributing to it. And I think rightly so. But there's a risk. Doug, let me let you start off here. We had the bombing of the airfields with the drones that took out 40 planes, nuclear capable. And now the Crimean Bridge has been attacked again at its weakest point by the Ukrainians. And Russia has a weapons deficit with artillery, tanks. They've got a huge manpower deficit between the ages 20 to 35. Okay, with that as a backdrop, jump into wherever you want to.
So the day after Operation Spiderweb happened, the Ukrainians also took out two overpasses for railroads, which ended up harming, I think, 107 people and killing three or four, and some of those were children.
Yeah.
Ukraine is out of control. I'm going to take the completely other different side of this.
Okay.
And say that Trump is entirely to blame for this. Trump has now become the World War III president, and I don't think he's in control of any of it. I think he's losing control of all of it. And this, you know, this whole notion that Zelensky says they did not alert the Trump administration that the attack was going to happen, and then the Trump administration never comes out and grandstands against it, refutiates against it, saying, hey, idiots, same day you did this, you're supposed to have peace talks in Istanbul. You attacked their nuclear triad. What the hell are you thinking? You're trying to cause World War III over here. And we didn't hear nothing still to this day, because I'm watching this every single moment of the day. Nothing's been said about the Trump administration. This morning, the press secretary, all she said was Trump holds all capable powers and responsibilities to extend and even worsen the sanctions against Russia. So nothing at all. But yet they planned, the Ukrainians said that they planned this for 18 months. They used NATO satellites. They used NATO funding. I don't know how they snuck into Siberia. I don't know how they got all this accomplished. But obviously, they are operating outside of their spectrum. And someone's helping them. And that someone is NATO. And the biggest someone in that NATO is the United States military industrial complex and the CIA and the DIA and the NSA and everyone else who provides any sort of tactical intelligence. We were absolutely a part of that attack. And if I were Vladimir Putin, I would be saying that they just attacked our nuclear triad. Now, they attacked the weakest wing of the nuclear triad because they have the ICBMs and they've got the boomers. To be able to get the fleet up off the ground and then try and drop a bomb on someone, that's kind of ridiculous anymore, because there's so many SAM sites, so many surface-to-air missiles to knock you out of the sky. But right before this attack happened, was we were talking about the other night, within the week, Putin comes out and says that he's now authorizing for, I think, four different types of tactical aircraft to carry an air-to-air burst tactical nuclear warhead. And we were talking about, why would you do that knowing that the moment that thing gets in the air, you're going to have everyone come down on you? But he's doing it because it's one of the last options that he honestly has left. We know that the oligarchs are pressuring Putin to do one of two things. You either win this war, or we will take you out of power and negotiate with the West.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
They want to keep their fiefdoms, right? They'll negotiate. They want to stay alive, which means we need to be looking for assassination attempts. We need to be looking for riots and civil war to start soon, most likely popping up in Russia. The tactical nuclear warhead, air-to-air, why would you need that? One of the things you and I talked about was that between Poland and Germany, they're the two strongest right now currently that are within NATO, that's in Europe. Germany has the biggest army. NATO has the most amount of U.S. assets and troops. So it would be a west and south pincer movement to hit Moscow. And you can't defend every single corner. But if it is a mass aerial attack, either via drones or manned aircraft, a couple airburst nukes might just buy you some more time to get out and to escape into some sort of underground quarters. That's the only thing that makes sense anymore. And we keep pushing Putin to this destination of the final line of the sand. There's been so many red lines in the sand that we have crossed, and Russia has crossed as well. Russia's, you know, just as much to blame in a lot of this. But we're striking Russia, not Ukraine. And I think it was either Witkoff, no, it was Kalog. Kalog came out yesterday and said that there is a proxy war. NATO is waging a proxy war using Ukraine against Russia. He came out and said it on an interview, I believe, with Fox News. So to come out and say that and to just outright admit it and to know that who has the biggest budget and contributes the most? The United States. Who has the most manpower in NATO? The United States. Who provides the most amount of assets to Ukraine? The United States. Who has the most amount of financial interest invested into Ukraine from Peter Thiel being there, from the mineral agreement that I don't even know if it's an agreement anymore? It's the United States. And for Rubio and Trump to say, well, we're about to just wash our hands with it because Putin does not want ceasefire. He never says about Zelensky, oh, by the way, we are supporting Nazis and using them to attack Russia. So if Trump runs for 3 years saying the first day he comes in, he's going to cause peace, it doesn't happen. And then about a month later, he's interviewed and says, where's the peace at, President Trump? Well, you know, it's just an expression. I was being sarcastic. We know it can't happen.
I don't think Bullshit. He said that. I think he put the blame on Putin.
No, he absolutely said it in an interview with MSNBC. I sat there and watched it. I watched it and I laughed because I'm like, of course you can't. You can't come in sitting here braggadociously saying you're going to end the war in one day. You're not God, though some people think he is at times. You're not God, but yet it's falling apart. More people are dying in either Russia or Ukraine every day. And Ukraine is crazier than the Russians are. They're absolutely crazy. They're losing so much manpower that they're kidnapping people off the streets in order to put them into their military. Let me read
you a statement. They've been doing that since the beginning of the war.
Let me read you a statement from Kharkov Deputy Erna Goncharova, who is out of her mind. She proposed, and she said this publicly, to execute draft dodgers. Here's her quote. She said that the idea of, quote, shooting a dozen Dodgers is an attractive idea. And she said that on a talk show. This is who we are yoking ourselves up with. Now, eventually, a peace deal does need to be made. And if the attack dog right now is Zelensky in Ukraine, and you want to draw out Russia to have some sort of a peaceful negotiation, and Russia has said this so many times, we don't have an issue with the United States, though you're attacking us. We don't want to fight the United States, though you're attacking us. We want to do an economic deal with the United States, though you're attacking us economically. And then the mineral deal for Ukraine comes out. Russia counters and says, we have more land space. We've got timber. We've got petroleum. We've got natural gas. We've got coal. We've got all the rare earth minerals, and honestly, more than what Ukraine does. do a deal with us and we will stop all this. Nobody wants to do a deal with Russia. And me personally, I think it's a World Economic Forum thing. Russia won't get on board. North Korea won't get on board. Iran won't get on board. That's the big three. They won't get on board to doing a one world currency. Donald Trump is driving the world into a one world currency led by the United States. Hint, hint, we'll make America wealthy again, the wealthiest nation on earth, and we're going to lead all this. We'll lead in artificial intelligence. We'll lead in war fighting. We'll lead in economics. We're trying to be the head of this dragon that's coming out. And you have one side of the fence that rah-rahs Trump and everything that he does, another side of the fence that hates every single thing that Trump stands for. Somewhere in the middle, we need to be objectively reasonable and just have an adult conversation and say, listen, we the people are going to see the brunt of this political war. They're probably not going to take out Putin. But if we continue to push Putin to the point that my only option is to have the nuclear missiles go towards everyone who's attacking us. Last month, he threatened to hit Germany with a nuclear missile if they don't stop screwing around. Eventually, this man is going to get caught out for bluff after bluff after bluff, and he'll only have two choices, run for his life or play his hand. And I don't know which one is worse. If he runs for his life, who becomes in charge of Russia? Probably a puppet that we'll install. If not, you push this man to a suicidal thought where, damn it, I will die and everyone will die with me. And he has said that before. You're not going to take Russia away from me, because he thinks he's Peter the Great. He wants to restart all of the Russian territory kingdom. That's what he wants to recreate. He said it before on an interview. So I say believe the man and understand that he means business. And eventually, because what we're destroying his artillery, we're destroying his tanks, we're destroying the plane and the drones. They've lost, 2 million people from this fight. They just called up 50,000 or 500,000 people to be mandatorily drafted.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, if the men start running, the women will have to be drafted. If they start running, something's got to happen.
Yeah, there's some numbers on this
aspect of civil war.
They've had over 1 million casualties, 1.5 million men between 20 and 35 have left the country. So the manpower shortage, it's not just showing up in the military. It's showing up in their infrastructure maintenance. It's showing up in their factory production for the war. It's showing up in their energy production. They're so particular about who they let in their country, but they're actually starting to bring in immigrants now to work in the energy sector because they're so depleted. Russia's in big trouble. Let me take a little bit, take more of a 30,000 foot view. And I agree with a lot of what you said about Putin. I'm not quite so much in agreement with Trump, but Trump is becoming an antagonist. And I think it's intentional and I think it's deserved. Here's what's happened. Trump tried to push peace when he came in. I believe his honest efforts were there. Zelensky sabotaged some of it because I think Zelensky only stays in power as long as there's a war as well. And he sabotaged it. Then Putin sabotaged it. Then there was the mineral deal, okay? And now they're at the table talking, and they both sabotaged it. And they're you know, it made it impossible for Trump. So Trump has taken the position now, okay, now I'm going to show you. Trump backed an absolute terrorist thug in Syria to overthrow Assad, okay? And people say, what is he doing? This was brilliant. Listen to me, people. Listen to the logic behind it. I'm not talking the morality. I'm talking now he decided I'm going after Putin. I'm going to force him to either fight or to surrender. So here's what he did. Syria is no longer under Russian control. There is no base at Tartus. The radar installations that would alert Iran if Israel was coming, those are gone. Surface-to-air missiles to bring down those planes are gone. And now the U.S. rules over the entire Mediterranean. The base at Tartus was the only Russian counter that they had. So now America dominates the Mediterranean. But here's a really big thing people aren't talking about. Turkey's a loose cannon. But right now, they're on America's side because they're not allowing Russian flyovers. And stay with me because this is really important. And they're not allowing passage through the waterways into the Mediterranean passing Turkey. They're blocking that to Russia. They're saying, no, you shall not pass. And Russia can't take on Turkey now. They don't have the military resources. Here's what's happening. The Wagner Group is in Central Africa promoting revolutions like in the Congo, for example. Trump is supporting these rogue regimes to counter the revolutionaries, which are also rogue. And they're doing it basically to try to wrestle away mineral control from the Russians. But even if the Wagner Group could win, they can't get the minerals out of Africa efficiently because there's no base at TARDIS to refuel. And now the ships can't come into the Mediterranean without taking these huge circumnavigation routes around Africa, and that's cost ineffective. Trump has, and let me back up, I'm getting ahead of myself. The African minerals were the offset to the sanctions imposed by the rest of the world when Russia attacked Ukraine. So now the Russian economy is in the pooper. I mean, literally, it's flushed down the toilet, and the Wagner Group is somewhat stranded, and they're trying to get Libyan rebels to help them, and that ain't going well because we're supporting the regime in Libya against that. Russia would like to build a port in Tobruk in Libya, but they can't get the peace there long enough to justify the building. And Russia doesn't have the resources right now to do it if they wanted to. So, Doug, what we're looking at right now, Putin has been neutered economically, militarily. Iran has been isolated. And now here's the final coup de grace. This is basically the big middle finger to the Russian oligarchs and to Putin. When Trump went to Qatar, he negotiated an energy deal. People, all they talked about was the airplane, the plane, the plane, the plane. Thought I was watching Fantasy Island from the 70s. That's all you heard about was that crap about the plane. What people didn't hear from the mainstream media, this is why we're more popular than they are, is the biggest natural gas deposits in the world are off the coast of Qatar. And I wish we could show you a map, but I'll describe it for you. We could not develop that with Qatar to get it into Europe because it would have to gone through Iraq, and Iraq's too unstable. But now Syria is under control, and their leader in Syria has stopped acting like a terrorist thug to some degree, and he's playing ball with the US. This pipeline is going to go Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Turkey, all taking a middleman cut, reasonable though, and into Europe. Now, prior to the war, Russia supplied about 30 to 40% of every nation's energy needs in Europe. This pipeline is a big screw you, Putin, because now the Europeans, after the war, will get their gas from Qatar and they won't get it from Russia. And this is Trump's war on the oligarchs. This isn't even so much directed at Putin. This is telling the oligarchs, hey, to heck with you guys who want to keep this war going. Now we're going to cut your legs out from underneath of you. And even if we get a peace, you've now got to pay a price. And so I think this is brilliant diplomacy on the part of Trump. But I think he's also, kind of playing Russian roulette, pun intended. And here's what I mean by this, Doug. Putin and the oligarchs now have a choice. They could go tactical nukes because right now the offense in Ukraine has stalled. And Russia doesn't have the resources, the manpower to pick it up. They're stalled. They're effectively done. And now the war is going to degrade into a stalemate. So what Russia can do is either send tactical nukes to get their way, and that could start World War III, or they could use this one missile. The name jumps out of my head, but it can go reach speeds of Mach 10. It has a range of 1,500 kilometers, means it can strike into Western Europe. It explodes at 4,000 degrees centigrade, so it eviscerates everything like a nuclear explosion. It's not a nuke, but it carries the force of a tactical nuke. And Russia says, we can unleash this as well. And here's the bottom line. Who's going to blink? I think that's the question right now. Either the oligarchs and Putin stand down, and they're not going to keep Crimea, they're not going to get the Donbass region, and they're going to stand down and they're going to apologize for the war, and then they can share in the mineral deal with Ukraine. I think that would be the olive branch. Or they're going to war and Russia will be decimated. The world will be in bad shape too, but Russia will cease to exist as a nation.
Yeah, that missile that you're talking about is the Oroshenk, and
Poroshenko, exactly, yeah.
it's a ballistic missile that travels between Mach 10 to Mach 11.
Amazing.
And One of the things that they've talked about, this missile actually had the data on it, but it can travel pretty much anywhere within Europe to hit anything. And it's a MIRV, so it's a multiple reentry vehicle, just like an ICBM. So it'll go up really, really high and then come down and then release all of its ordnance.
It's suborbital, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Is it dangerous? It's absolutely dangerous. It's a long shot. If they want to do that, they're going to get nuked for it, and they know it. That's the bad thing. One of the things that Trump is doing right now, and yes, I'm bad mouthing Trump because I don't like Trump and I don't like any politician, but I will say where he's picking back up on is what the Obama administration was doing in 2015 in Syria. Whenever Hillary Clinton was running for president, she said that if she was the president, there would be a no-fly zone over exactly. Syria, and they would shoot every MiG in the sky down and not allow for Putin to have the pipeline access from Syria to go to Iraq and then to go into the rest of the Middle East
right.
and then pop out the other side for Asia. That's what they wanted. Trump is now picking up on that.
Exactly.
And he is doing it his own way. It is a bit of a political masterpiece, a negotiating masterpiece. I'm not giving the guy props, just speaking objectively. He goes to Saudi Arabia, makes a $1 trillion deal with them. He goes to Qatar, makes a $1 trillion deal with them. So Saudi Arabia negotiates with the Syrian president and then also sends an olive branch over to Iran and says, you guys need to sit down and shut up and just wait for this one. And so Iran is kind of tempering down right now and even coming to the negotiation table just here and there. But the big thing was Syria. So you have a former ISIS leader, he's on the FBI's top 10 most wanted. And I believe he's been taken off the FBI's most wanted. Crazy thing is the intelligence agency and DOD is now talking about taking the Taliban off of the terrorism watch list. It's insanity. That's happening right now.
Because of Afghanistan, right?
It's all to shake hands yeah. with the devil to get your way in so that we can bully Russia and China and get our way with the economy. So to get Qatar to go north will mean we're going to be involved in that. And all the other Middle East countries will be involved with that to have security on it. So they'll get their reciprocal payment from it, as you were mentioning. Which means one of the biggest reasons why Turkey is actually backing everything that has to do with Syria. For a moment in time when Biden was in, Turkey was not our friend and they were leaning towards Russia and they were actually helping Russia and being more, they were having more fellowship more or less with Russia. Well, now that Trump's in, they have crawfished on that, turned around, and now they're butting up back again with NATO and with Trump. It's all for money. But like you said, it's a pressure that's going to be on the oligarchs. That's going to be on Putin. Putin's almost a trillionaire. That entire pipeline that goes into Europe, Putin owns that. He owns the entire oil company. He's the richest man in Europe, to include Russia. So with the oligarchs who also have a big bite in this, you threaten them, we will bankrupt you completely and cut you out of everything.
That's right.
Which is why Germany is now raising an army. Japan is now raising an army. It's crazy. We destroyed both nations during World War II. And at the same time, this year in 2025, both nations are restanding.
You mean I'm not the only one that thought of that too? I mean, it's ironic. I will tell you this though. I do trust the Japanese because the Japanese are so interdependent with us right now in so many ways. They're doing this in support of our foreign policy initiatives because they're going to benefit from it. But they're a good counter to China. See,
yes.
What we haven't talked about is right now Trump is building an alliance with Australia, Vietnam, the Philippines, South Korea, and Japan to counter China. That's checkmate. China doesn't have the resources. They're spread way, way too thin. And I got it on good authority, Doug. Australia is getting nuclear submarines from us.
Well, Australia better stop sending all their freaking Abrams tanks to Ukraine to get destroyed.
I hear you.
Here's the thing, man, is that there is becoming a realignment of the world powers that was collapsing under the Biden administration. And for as long as Trump is in power right now, it's being reestablished. And it's either obviously the bulldog tactics against Russia, against Venezuela, against Maduro in Venezuela, against Mexico, and also against China and any allies they have. Europe is being forced to front the bill now in this war and front the ammunition and the planes. And Starmer over there, the new prime minister for Great Britain, is saying that they are back in a war footing development process. They're rearming their military. They're going to grow their military. They're going to create, I think, 7 new industries for creating their own missiles and tanks and planes, ammunition. So they're back to a World War II footing. Trump just said, just had a great talk with our military leaders. It is the strongest military we have ever had, including the fact that we are stockpiling weapons at a rate never seen by our country, which is also echoed by JP Morgan Chase, the CEO, who urges that the U.S. needs to stockpile guns and ammo instead of Bitcoin. He said that one of the nation's most powerful bankers, this is coming Fox News Business, one of the nation's most powerful bankers says that the United States should be loading up on guns, bullets, tanks, planes, drones, and rare earth minerals, and not on cryptocurrency. So I would just ask you, how imminent then is World War III if Putin will not come to the peace table? If Iran will not stop with enriching uranium, there's a new IAEA information that came out from them. I can't remember the full acronym, but they're the ones that Netanyahu right now is using as provocation to attack Iran, saying Iran is clearly building nuclear weapons. They're clearly enriching for nuclear weapons. They're not using it for the economy. They're not using it for infrastructure. They won't even allow access to any type of inspectors in there. And the places they will allow access is mundane, but the real places they want in, they won't be allowed in. So they have to be able to come to the table and they have to be able to say, you're going to give us full access to everything. You're going to demill and destroy and remove everything that has to do with nuclear power. And then Trump comes back and says, we'll allow you to establish a small bit of nuclear power for your economy. Then we'll allow you to also start redrilling for oil and sell it on the world trade so you can start enriching your company or enriching your country and take it out of the poverty and stabilize your country, keeping the imams in power. This is, I mean, it is ingenious to take anything that was an ally, that was a destabled, economically poor and severe country, that was a ally beneficiary of Russia, and to undermine Russia and say, we're going to give you everything right here, right now. It's in the plane behind me. Sign the dotted line. Keep your mouth shut. And when we start to move in, you don't say nothing. You don't do nothing. That's actually happening right now.
Yeah, there's another factor, too, that I didn't report on. I interviewed a member of the resistance, a leader for the resistance in Iran, who's in exile in Paris right now. His name is Shaheen Gobadi. And you can hear that and actually see that interview on YouTube from last week. And what Shaheen said, let me tell you, I said this to him. I said, Shaheen, you don't have much time to overthrow the mullahs in Iran. Once Trump determines that this nuclear program is getting close to completion, there's going to be an attack. And he goes, I know we don't have a lot of time, but he goes, it's going to start next week. And let me tell you, video coming out of Iran, not covered in our mainstream media, nor in Europe, which is really interesting. Video coming out shows that the Iranian economy is at a standstill. Trucks are backed up for miles on highways, and the people are in the streets in big volume. And what's interesting, the police and the military are not attacking them. They're hoarding them into areas. They're controlling access into buildings and stuff, but they are not attacking them. It's no Tiananmen Square kind of deal. And I asked Shaheen about the makeup of the Iranian military versus the bodyguards for the mullahs. The bodyguards are fanatic and they'll die for the mullahs. They're the secret service, so to speak, but in big volume, and they're well-armed. The military is 80 to 90% conscripts, which means they ain't loyal to this, and they got friends and family suffering under this regime, and they've had enough too. Iran sits on the potential for a civil war before we attack them, unless we let Israel ruin this. Gobadi's plan is working with civilian unrest. I've seen evidence for it on video, and I think this is why Trump is taking a softer approach, and he better be telling Netanyahu, stand the hell down. We're winning. You don't have to do this. And I think Netanyahu will have to listen. There's another factor I wanted to mention, too, about Russia being in trouble. Russia has two customers for their oil, India and China. And when you only have two customers, you don't get to set the price. So Russia's making some money, but not like they would if they were working on a world market. And so their economy's getting squeezed on that end as well. And India is starting to align more with America because of the Pakistan threat. And they're looking at Pakistan and China as one entity now. And I think that what you're looking at here is India, with their huge army and nuclear weapons, could be aligning with the United States very soon. This is terrible news for China and bad news for Russia. And you're right about the resurgence of the alliances. And the alliance isn't just resurging, though, Doug. It's expanding. It's expanding. And this has been made clear to Claudia Sheinbaum, the president of Mexico. Listen, she loves the CJNG, and I've written and I've said she's one of them. Well, let's put it this way. She has affiliations. So there's no question in my mind this is true. And they sacrifice a drug lab here and there just to show the U.S., hey, look, we're doing something. It's all for show. It's not for anything substantive to limit the cartels. And Mexico has a decision to make internally. Are you going to take care of your internal mess and join the world economy with your great natural resources and become a prosperous nation? Or are you going to get mired in the war that's organized crime? What do you think is going to happen in Mexico?
I think if we moved on Russia and we use a blockade effect in the Pacific against China, more or less isolating Russia, which the real wild card there is their boomers, their submarines. But if we decide to move in on Russia and blockade China, you're going to have to take out the cartel. All right, now this is a discussion that we had. The cartel are well funded, very well armed, maybe not the greatest trained, but they're very motivated, and drugs will motivate you to do some crazy things. And you have two things happening right now with Mexico, and America wants a piece of where the Sinaloas are. So think about this. There's potentially 20, I call them bases or complexes. I don't know what else they'll be called, but there's potentially 20 complexes that will each have nuclear power to power artificial intelligence fusion centers, which is scary. I don't agree to that. And I think that's a horrible idea, but that's just me. But it requires a massive amount of a rare earth mineral, which is called silver. The Sinaloa silver mines is probably some of the most, has some of the most quantity of silver within Mexico. Sinaloa controls it. If we were to, per se, speaking as Americans, if we were to use our assets to talk to the new Jalisco cartel and say, listen, we're going to move on China, we're going to move on Russia, and we are going to utterly destroy you, and there's really nothing you can do about it. But if you make a deal with us, if you go and remove the cartel in the Sinaloa Valley and those Sinaloa Mountains, and we can have access now to that silver, we'll give you a bite of it. You'll be able to allow to have some sort of operational function still, but you'll be alive. Claudia Sheinbaum will have, honestly, no opinion in this matter. She has zero opinion, honestly, or delegation authority, honestly, in Mexico as it
I
is.
totally agree with you. In fact, she's been told to stand down. And let me tell you how I know this. And then I'm going to take a different track than you did, but we're going to end up in the same place. The second most powerful position in the Mexican government is the Mexico City mayor. A little over a week ago, the two top aides for the Mexico City mayor were executed by cartel in public, right near their government building. This was a warning to Claudia Sheinbaum. There's stuff going on. Don't you get involved in it. And what you're saying about the CJNG, this has already started. Doug, let me tell you how I know this has started. The Sinaloas used to be pretty much one faction. But do you remember the arrests that took place in El Paso under the Biden administration, right? We had a Sinaloa cartel leader kidnapped, delivered to American authorities, and now he's in Canyon City in the Max lockup. Now the Sinaloas are caught in this civil war. You got the El Chapitos and the El Mayos, and they're fighting against each other. The CJNG has reached an agreement with the El Chapitos. They're going to absorb them. This is the first move in that direction of consolidation, Doug. In fact, let me give you another one. The CJNG has taken over the avocado trade. Now, they don't do anything with avocados, but they're offering protection. The Unidas cartel, or often called in English United cartel, was controlling the avocados, but they were terribly brutal to the farmers and very unfair. The CJNG said, hey, we'll protect you. We just want to take a cut, but we're not going to interfere in what you do. And we'll certainly protect you and your families. And the United cartel is out. This is an example of consolidation. Here's what's happening on government consolidation. What's happening now with Pemex, the major national state-owned oil company of Mexico, they ship into the United States. Well, the CJNG is tapping into their shipping lines and stealing oil, creating front companies and selling to American gas stations. There's your consolidation, Doug. It's already happening.
Yeah, I want to give a couple of updates that are happening right now. For one, the Israeli Defense Force has stated as of this morning that we are ready to confront the Freedom Flotilla with Greta Thunberg and her sailboat on its way to Gaza. Some people just never learn.
I don't know why Greta's doing, isn't Greta's thing about making the world safe for climate and so forth and being good stewards of our planet. Why is she involving herself in this flotilla for Gaza?
For humanitarian aid for the Gazans.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this honestly. I don't think that's evil.
I don't think it's evil. If you read some of the reports of what has happened in Gaza, the amount of people who have died, the amount of children that have died, the amount of women that have died, the amount of rubble that is everywhere, people still alive and underneath it. And they're facing potentially 2 million people to starve. I mean, we do need to help those people, even though what comes from them is a very brutal terrorist organization. It's never a easy, uncomplicated fight when you're trying to root out terrorism, especially when the youth is taught to be terrorist for Allah. It's the greatest thing you could do. So there's been some breaking alerts that there have now been rockets fired into the Golan Heights from southern Lebanon, from Yemen. Israeli Channel 12 News says that the IDF is determining where the rockets were fired, also now from Syria. And the Israeli media now says the alerts are going off in multiple different areas. Israel is now artillery shelling against Dara in southern Syria. Israeli Channel 14 says two rockets were fired from Syria moments ago.
Is this
ago.
From Gaza, do you think, though? You think the
No, this is from Syria.
But Gaza in Syria is what I'm asking. Yeah, I mean, the Gaza, like Hamas or group like that.
It's probably still their people. The IDF is responding, and there's a statement from the IDF now. They said that the Israeli defense minister says, we hold the Syrian president directly responsible for every threat and firing at the state of Israel, and the full response will come as soon as possible. We will not allow a return to the reality of October 7th, breaking. Israeli convoys are now entering into Syria, heading towards Maraba. I believe that means welcome, in southern Dara. Three Israeli AWACS have now lifted up off the ground, headed towards Syria. Turkish recon aircraft has lifted off and is heading towards northern Syria. Heavy Turkish jet movement is now reported in southeast of Turkey along the Syrian border. Reports that an Iranian-backed group or some other axis of resistance group was behind this and previous attacks on Israel from Syria post-Assad. The attacks have always been launched by Arab Bedouin tribes, part of the Arab tribal army. A Syrian village which the rockets were fired must be evacuated immediately and completely destroyed. Where they are trying to take our lives, there will be no left. That comes from Alma Boker, Israeli military journalist for Channel 13. Here we go. Breaking sirens in Crimea are going off as possible launches of Ukrainian Neptune missiles. And now there are reports of four Russian missile carriers that are entering into the Black Sea. Those missile carriers are ships.
Yeah. But the thing is the Black Sea fleet has been decimated by Ukrainian drones, courtesy
Yes.
of NATO. I want to go back to the Syrian deal in Israel. I have a theory, and I think I'm right. That pipeline coming out of Qatar does not include Israel. Israel does not benefit from that. But listen, if Israel was told you can clean out Gaza and you can get all the natural resources there and you'll have beachfront property on top of it, that could have been the compensation. And I think this is Israel standing up to Syrian influence, saying, this is what we're going to do, and you're not interfering.
Well, they want into Gaza. One of the biggest things is not just to move people into Gaza and to reestablish it, because Israel has absolutely said, we will completely have Gaza back again.
Exactly.
Regardless if there's Palestinians there or not. But they want the untapped oil and natural gas reserve that's right off of it.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. And see, there's your compensation for not being part of the Qatar deal.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what's happening here. And someone in Syria is playing games, trying to upset the apple cart. And I would bet these are pro-Assad forces now that I think about it.
Which is most likely Russia-based.
Yes, there you go. This is the Russian version of the CIA trying to antagonize. Yeah, exactly. Get us involved in a war with Iran as a result. Yeah,
which is one of the main reasons why the U.S. and NATO are trying to extend some sort of an olive branch to Iran, because Iran is the head of that snake, which is the violent Islamic extremist that's within this area of the Middle East. So if you can get Iran to tell their boys, put down your guns, stop shooting at everybody, everybody's going to make some money, most likely that'll end up happening. Or it'll be nuclear Armageddon. I mean, it'll be one of the two. So,
okay, now it's Doug and Dave at 40 paces. Ready, aim, draw.
Mexican standoff.
Listen, I was loose. You're looking at a combat veteran here from Fallujah, and I've never seen combat except inside a ring. It ain't the same thing. So here's the bottom line. Trump is a master diplomat. He has pulled off amazing diplomacy to isolate Russia, and I realize it's high stakes. He's pulled off good diplomacy with Mexico so far. He's isolated China. Okay, the job reports is up. We're diversifying with precious metals like crazy. We're getting investments into the United States. The tariff threats are working, and they haven't destroyed the economy, as the Democrats would have you believe. I'd say he's doing a pretty good job. Okay, now you get to. I know you're not a Trump fan, so you get to counter.
I can't deny the accomplishments of Trump because they're obvious. But within 4 months, we're closer to World War III and nuclear war than we've been in the last 20
years. High stakes poker is he's playing with Russia. I totally agree with you on that, Doug. It's dangerous. I think we need to, as Christians, pray that Russia comes to their senses, we end this war, and it doesn't result in any further loss of life or conflict.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know who's more Christian, us or Russia, or if it even matters anymore. But I got a question for you before we end this. I want to hear your opinion on this. Trump is now tapping Palantir to compile data on Americans.
No. And this is something we need to stand up to Trump on. I don't agree with this.
How is it he's a good guy on this end?
No.
And he is things I'm not allowed to say anymore on this end. I don't get the two. Like, how are you a good guy? And then you're all of a sudden a techno dictator on the other end. This is all about the one world economy.
Doug, I can answer the question. He's not looking, in my opinion, to enslave America. He's looking to isolate domestic threats. And this is the purpose behind it. But here's the problem. Trump won't be president forever. Whoever inherits the ability to do this could turn America into a police state with this kind of information.
Well, that's the thing, man. Domestic threats is a fluid statement within these United States. Just a couple of years ago, we were the domestic threats. And then Trump was president, and then everything's okay. But right before Trump, with one of my old bosses again, Obama, once again, we were the domestic threats.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're lining up infrastructure for the Antichrist beast system. This is the end of everything that it takes us to. Always goes to the end of the Antichrist, and then Jesus comes back. And we are empowering with artificial intelligence, with all the gathering of all these metrics on people. And they used to say that they wanted to have the Internet of Things as a form of metrics for analysis and compiling data. And now, one of the latest statements I heard from these tech retards is that it is the human of things. It's the human Internet of Things. So it's the mixing of the two. So your smartwatch, your phone, your computer, it's always giving the data, metrics, and analytics on everything that you do so that they can more or less get money off of you and the things that you buy constantly. And compiling all of this data, where does it go? What will it be used for? Why do you need to know every single little thing about me? And I never trust a government who wants to know every single little thing about me, because the U.S. government, based off the Constitution, the framers of the Constitution, was supposed to be that big. And then everything else was states' rights. And it's we, the people, come first.
Well, that's not Trump's fault. I agree with you philosophically, but that's not Trump's fault. But here's just what I said. I'll repeat myself. I take exception to Palantir and what they're doing, and because it's dangerous. Trump has had, we in America have had an influx of millions of people. And out of those millions of people, they're not all going to be well-intentioned. Hey, we just want to come here, have a better life, and so forth and so on. Most of these people are not threats to us, other than maybe the sheer volume of their numbers and the drain on the economy. But leaving that argument aside, we have people here who are bad actors, and we've seen evidence of it. And I think Trump is trying to use this to data search who are the bad actors and where are likely the domestic terrorists to come from. And this is what his motive is. And it parallels what he's doing with ICE right now. That's why I believe this is true. I don't think Trump is thinking long term. But I'll tell you this, the Palantir thing is dangerous for the reason I just said. He won't be president forever. And this could be enacted against the American people to impose things like 15-minute cities, social credit, and the mark of the beast coming in. And I've been doing a repeat series on 15-minute cities, mark of the beast, and stuff like this, Doug, because of the Palantir deal. I'm fearful of it, and Trump needs to stop it. He needs to find another way to root out the terrorists.
Peter Thiel is the one who created the One Pass, whatever it's called, digital wallet that has all of your information on, all your banking, all your medical, all your government for Ukraine. So he did that in Ukraine, okay? Peter Thiel is also the guy who wants the smart wall across the southern border, which means you can't get out anymore at that point. Peter Thiel is also the guy who wants 15-minute cities.
Yeah,
and he wants to know every single thing that you're doing. So in a way, yeah, it is going to be Trump's fault. Because Trump obviously is either just taking every handout that comes to him that will support him and throw money and throw their name behind him, or there's intent. And the man's not foolish. We just discussed that strategy-wise, he's pretty dang smart. But you don't say, hey, I'm pretty smart, and then go sit in the freaking ocean with a stake around your neck and try to make friends with sharks. So this is a dangerous application. Peter Thiel is going to be one of the guys who's going to be building these AI fusion centers. And there's nothing good that comes from this.
Yeah, no,
data listen, mining for cryptocurrency and all that.
I mean, the protection for national security can go too far very easily. And this is what I think Trump is guilty of. I don't know if you think he's guilty of a more nefarious objective, that he's really seeking to enslave the American people down the road. And he'll be a lifetime dictator. I don't know if that's where you're going with that. I don't know that I would conclude that now, but I do not like the Palantir deal whatsoever. We're in agreement on that. Doug, we're flat out of time. This is a good note to end on, because we're going to have to follow up with what this stuff would look like if we let Palantir do this. And I will tell you this, I have gone along with almost everything Trump has done for the most part, but this is the one thing where I'll put my foot down and say I'm not complying.
Well,
Palantir, big middle finger to you. You're not getting a hold of my finances. Hey, Doug, we got a scoop, man. We're out of time, buddy. We got more shows to do. Hey, I'll send you a text, because we got to get some stuff in under the wire. Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is Doug Thornton, Dave Hodges, and we're the Doug and Dave Intel Report. We'll see you back here next time. God bless everybody.